What's up, guys? It's Clint Locklear with Man Strong Podcast. This is going to be our fifth episode, and I'm really enjoying these. It's really one of these things that I think about all the time just as I look around the world that we live in. Now, if you don't know who I am, I'm just your average, everyday neighbor, conservative, veteran, free-loving hippie that thinks masculinity is not something to be ashamed of or shunned or shamed. So we're going to talk about a couple of different issues today, and one of them is may get somebody upset. But I want you to understand that this is not coming from a place of meanness or darkness or hatred or somebody that's trying to hurt someone's feelings. But I think it's something we as a society have really screwed the pooch on. And that's mama's boys. And you may be thinking, you know what that is, but do you really? And then the last thing we're going to talk about is how to start a strength program. So you can actually be a physically fit, functional male instead of an impotent marshmallow male. I think that's kind of important too. Before we get into these subjects, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They're out of Iowa. Alan Sayers is the owner of that business, and he's got pretty much anything you'd want for trapping, a lot of calling stuff. He's now going to be making the Sleepy Creek setters and the Sleepy Creek stretchers for you guys that need those. I mean, I can't imagine using another setter but that myself, but he's very dependable. They're very good, and he's an honest man to deal with. So check him out at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, also at Hilltop Outdoor Supplies, and he will hook you up and treat you right because that's just the kind of business he is. So what is a mama's boy? I think all in our society today, I think a lot of us for a long time probably were, to a certain point, if you had a decent relationship with your mother, a mother's boy. And I think that's the functional way that a child should be brought up, especially a male. That's what we're talking about. But then there has to be separation from mama. Because if there's not a separation of mama, where you're actually allowed to develop into the masculine male that you were intended to be, you're going to have massive dysfunction in the way that you think, the way that you rely on feelings, your decision makings, and everything else. But see, today, there's not really a separation from mama. Because part of the problem is, there's not a whole lot of daddies in the household. And it's hard to have a strong male figure if it's just on the weekends or you don't know who it is. You have certain groups of our society where there's actually a bonus to the mother to get rid of the dad for monetary purposes through welfare. I think this is very much on target for what status need, because men, real men, are not going to put up with a whole lot of overreach from the state. Women, though, just by nature, and this is not a fault and this is not a weakness of women, but I think security and an aversion to risk, it makes them a little more easily acceptable to overreach as long as they're promised that security through the different welfare programs and different, you know, the way the laws work now in divorce court and everything else and alimony and child support. It gives them that security they need to not need a male. And this causes a lot of dysfunction, I believe, in females. See, you hear these things growing up all the time, and it's kind of like, well, you know, she needs to be put in her place. And then that just pisses off a feminist to no end because there is no place, she's equal, this, that, and the other. Which the feminist, I believe, is true on that. But the difference is, biologically, when you really look at males and females, what we're designed to do, a lot of the anxiousness that we have in society today comes because the female cannot relax into her role as an awesome woman. So she's trying to pretend to be an alpha male. She's trying to be the super strong woman, which if you think about the term super strong woman, that basically means if you're a dad and you think that's cute, what you're saying is, I want my daughter to live an anxious life and get a weak man that she can push around. See, that's dysfunctional. Men need to be able to be separated from the feminine. And all through history, pretty much all through any culture you look at, except for highly developed civilizations that turn more feminine and get more dysfunctional like ours is today, they used to have a separation from mom, but we don't anymore. So I want us to think back a little bit. Let's say this is about the 1400s in the Americas. Young man is being protected from the world by his mother. That's her role. All of a sudden, about a 14th birthday, elders and her dad comes in and snatches that young boy out of the teepee with mom. How do you think mom's going to react? She's not going to like it because she knows what's getting ready to happen. The Cherokee Indians knew that the man would never be a man if he never got unattached from mama. That didn't mean he didn't love his mother. That didn't mean he didn't talk to his mother. That didn't mean he didn't take his mother's advice. But she does not have absolute control over him the way most men today, their mothers control their lives even though they want to act like they don't. So they snatch this Cherokee up, 14 years old. They don't let him eat for 4 days. Because there's a lot in philosophy when you look at male and female. Male is more austerity. Female is more consumption, security. You need to consume. That's not exactly the way males are designed to be. They're more stoic. They're more austere. They don't need the same type of comforts and stuff because they understand what their roles are, and that's not just being a consumer. Well, females are a little bit more on the consumer side. And males that understand what males are, they don't need to be the consumer side. But see, you're looking at that now from a perspective of America, and most men are just as much consumers as women because they're mama's boys and they've never been separated. But this young Cherokee, 4 days, no food. Do you think you know of a mother that thinks that's a good idea? They take him to the edge of a cliff and they find a rock that's an outcropping. There's no shade, there's no water, there's no food. They drag him down to that rock. If you leave this rock within 4 days before the sun comes up on that last morning, if you leave this rock, do not come back to the tribe because you're not a man. And we're not going to put up with mama boys. So that young 14, every 14-year-old Cherokee went through this in one fashion or another. Completely isolated, completely in austerity because no food, no water, no video games, no cell phones, no iPads, no texting. None of that. Had to sit there with nothing. And once they come back from this, they're not allowed to live with their mother. For a certain amount of time, the Cherokee Indians, if you needed to ask your mother something or communicate with your mother, you did it through the father or through another sibling. You were not allowed to, for a certain amount of time, to even talk to your mother. Cherokee Indians, their men were men. Now today, that seems really harsh. We can't even imagine kids today going 2 hours without a snack at 14 years old. If you've ever seen the movie 300 with the Spartans, when they take the young men and they take them into training, well, one of the things to figure out if you're going to be in a Spartan or not or survive, they actually took 12, 14-year-old kids, stuck them out in the wilderness with nothing. If they survived a certain amount of time, they could come home. If they didn't survive, they did not have what it took to be a man. Too extreme? I don't know. But see, cultures knew that you had to separate men from mothers. Mothers are awesome. But mothers, just by nature, will always want to mother. And if a male is always being mothered, he's never going to be a man. He may grow up. He may be 290 pounds of solid muscle. He may be a pro football player. He may be an MMA fighter. He may be a construction worker. But he can't make any decisions without mama. And all the decisions about his family are through his mother. All the decisions about his finances are through his mother. And if any time he doesn't listen to his mother, what does she do? She does what the feminine does to get their way. They don't talk. They make you feel isolated. They will guilt and shame you. Because how many times have we heard how much pain it was to come into this world? And even a 290-pound, fully grown male is still a mama's boy. And we see this all in our society today. See, one thing that I do think is helpful, and I think in a free country, having people have to do stuff is not exactly the right way. But when I went in the military and when everybody else goes into the military, it's extremely different. I also think a college at the beginning was one of our ways in our nation to separate men from their mothers. Because you had a dorm. It used to be a lot stricter in what you did. Most people didn't have the money to run back and forth all the time. But see, in the military, you show up on a bus. And you don't even get to call home, if I remember right, for the first 2 months. May have been a month, but I think it was 2 months. You could write letters, but you could not talk to your mom for 2 months. And I remember that's who I wanted to talk to. Because I was now in a situation with no protecting of mommy. And everybody else did too. Now after basic and AIT, which is several months, and I went to airborne school and air assault school, I saw my mom, you know, because you only get a couple of days here and there. There's not that you're so glad to see her and you love her so much, but it is not the same as it was when you left. Because you had a masculine role model, which were drill sergeants and your other friends, and the feminine was not accepted at all. Feelings, none. Compassion, very little. Empathy, it needs to be something besides discomfort. That's the reason military men act a lot different than normal civilian men. We went through a rite of passage to separate us from mom. Mom cannot manipulate someone right out of the military the same way she can if they're not in the military. It's amazing to me that we have forgotten the faces of our fathers through history of masculinity, where we understood there needed to be a separation of mom. Because the downside of it is, if mama is always on your mind, what would we always trying to please mom? See, that's not the role of a male. Once that male's an adult, it's to please his wife. Is that what happens in America today? Or is mom up in everybody else's business? Now, I will say that I have been extremely lucky with the family that I was lucky enough to be born in. My mom did not interfere. Plus, after being out of the military, it wouldn't have worked very well anyway. Even on my dad's side, it was very clear that he said, if you ever need to talk or need to, you know, discuss something, give me a call, but I'm not going to get in your business. If we were struggling with money and he knew it, he wouldn't bring it up. I had to. That was a massive gift from my dad. Cindy's parents, my wife, Bob and Ann, were extremely strong people. They didn't get in our business either. Because I'm going to say something that is that I know I'm treading lightly with a lot of people, because your life is one reality and I'm talking about another. If a mother is getting involved in a grown son's business, it's dysfunctional. If a mother is always in a son's business, it's because the man has not matured into a man yet. And for a lot of men, that's going to be very hard to grasp, because that's the only world they know, is mama's world. Now see, if you're in mama's world, how are you going to make decisions? Based off feelings? Based off opinions from others? Because that's very important to women, and it shouldn't be that important to men. It's going to be on social understanding of status. Very feminine. What are the neighbors going to think? How do you look? How are you representing the family? All the stuff that mama told you growing up, that's because mama believes it, because that's what mamas are, and that's a good thing to a point and to a certain age. So if the man doesn't learn not to be a mama's boy, he's basically a female. He's got a penis, he can have a wife, and he can have kids, but he's going to go through life purely from an feminine perspective. And that is not the way that it's supposed to be. Because men need to be able to chart their own course, be leaders, and how can you be a leader if you got to go ask mommy first? How are you going to chart your own course if you've got to run it by mommy and get her permission? How are you going to be able to make hard decisions that's best for you, even though mom's worried about what the neighbors are going to think? Because she's going to tell you what mom's told you in school. Keep your head down, do your homework, get good grades. Just take it from the boss, do something you don't want to do, keep your head down, keep your nose to the grindstone, and just be a good little employee so you've got security. And for some men, that's the right decision. For a lot of men, that's the wrong decision, and they spend their whole life miserable because they're not doing what they're destined to do. Like I said, I hold a place in my heart for my mother that is unbelievable, but she did not control me once I became a man. And she knew it too. So once she knew that, she quit trying. That was her natural way of trying to show help, is mother. If you want to destroy a young man, let him be a mama's boy. You want to cut him off of all his true potential? Let him be his mama's boy. But that's what we see in this country today. What do you mean you're going to lift heavy weights? That could be dangerous. What do you mean you're going to join the military? That could be dangerous. You're going to do what on vacation? Oh, no, you're not going to do that. That could be dangerous, son. What happens if something happens to you? Do you know how hard that's going to be on me? See, manipulation. Probably not even in a vindictive way, but it's definitely manipulation. Now, I'm sure today, if you tried to do what the Cherokees did, you're going to prison if you did that with your 14-year-old son. This is where there needs to be a male and a female in a household. So when mama keeps trying to mother an adult child or one that's becoming of age, she should be able to trust her husband because he's not a peckerhead and he's not a mama's boy. And he goes, we need to knock that off because you're going to hurt your son. And they can have a discussion about it. Even though she won't like it because it's her nature, she will want what's best for her son. Or you got to figure out a way to get the boy away from the mom for completely away from the mom for a certain amount of time. Mama's boys are always going to be dysfunctional, because they're never going to reach their true potential of their masculinity, which is a blessing to society and the family and the partners and the tribe that they're a part of. So just think about that if you're a mother, and think about that if you're a dad. And if your mother today, you're 45 years old and your mother's still 4 foot up your butt on every decision you make, you need to get away from her and not let her control you. Now, I want to talk as we finish up on how to start a strength program where you don't get yourself screwed up. Now, I'll admit my personality is normally all in or nothing. I build up through understanding, through research, and then when I pull the trigger, most of the time for me, it's all or nothing. And as you get older, if you're older like I am, that may not be the smart thing, because you've let your body go to crap for the last 30 years probably. So I want to talk about just a few things to get you, maybe if you're thinking about starting to do a strength program for age, a strength program so you can actually be a protector, a strength program just so you can feel enough pride in yourself when you stand up that you know that there's some strength there with you. If you're really, really out of shape, start with some basic stuff and leave your ego completely out of this. When you're starting one of these programs and you're totally out of shape, the warrior mindset really shouldn't be part of this, because you've abused your body to the point where it's not going to handle a lot of stress, because the way you grow strength, muscle, tendons, ligaments, connective tissue is through progressive adaptation. There's nothing new about that concept. But what a lot of guys do, because they remember what it was like in high school and say they're 40 years old and they used to do this in the gym when they played football, they think in 2 weeks they're going to be doing the same thing. If you do that, you're going to have a lot of tendonitis. You might have a dislocated joint. You're going to tear some ligaments. You're going to do all kinds of things. You've got to get your body ready to start being strong. What I recommend is set a number of, say, 100 push-ups twice a week. If you can't do but 10, then you do 10 sets till you get your 100. Don't add weight. Don't get on a bench. Don't try to, you know, have someone sit on your back. Don't you know, get discouraged because you can't do 100 at one time. Most people today can't do 100 push-ups at one time anyway, so don't get excited about that. Then when you can do 20 at a time, you do 5 sets. When you can do 30, you see how that you just progress that up. And I would do this for a couple of months. I did it for 4. And I did sit-ups to where I started. And you know, I was burning after 8 or 10. When I got done, I could do 100 in a row. Wasn't a Superman because I could do 100. I was just kind of back to somewhat of a normal physical capacity at that time. We're just so weak today as people that we think that that's like something special. I used, because Travis saw me doing this one day, the guy, my employee, and he thought it was crazy. He's 21 years old, he's skinny, and it didn't mean anything to him. Just have a metal chair or a couch chair or something and sit in it and stand up and don't use your arms till you do it 100 times. When I started, it was sets of 15. And I was very sore for several days. I wasn't squatting weight. I mean, I was, my big butt, but I wasn't squatting weight in a gym. I started doing deadlifts. That's the only lift I would say to go. And you're not trying to break records when you're doing this. You just need to be able to get some core muscles to start functioning again. Which, if you want to be strong, that's your hamstrings, your glutes, your lower back, and your upper back. Just get where you can deadlift 250 pounds. Don't try to do it all at once. Do it once a week, no more, because it is deadlift will wreck your service, your central nervous system if you do it too much. I had, those little cable things that you can get at Walmart or Target or Amazon. And while I was working through the day, I would do some tricep extensions with them. I would do some curls. I would stand on it and do some, military presses with just the thing. It wasn't heavy. It wasn't easy because I was so out of shape, but it wasn't like I was doing anything except getting my body somewhat in a prepared state to go to do that. It's the same in the military. People think when you go to basic training that you're the first day that they're just absolutely trying to kill you with running and push-ups and sit-ups. It is because everybody's so weak. But you're not really doing a whole lot when I look back on that. I think the first... It probably took 3 weeks before we got up to running a mile. We were young. Half the people that went in, including me, could not do the minimum recommended strict push-ups, which is 42 in 2 minutes. Most couldn't do the sit-ups. That was always a little bit easier for me for some reason. And then you're doing a lot of walking. You're carrying around a lighter rucksack. You know, in combat, when you're in a real unit, your rucksack's going to weigh 70 to 120 pounds. In training, 20 to 30. See, they build, even in the military, they understood that you got to build that up. You did a bunch of, leg lifts and flutter kicks and arm circles and stuff like that. Why you built that up. And then towards the end of the training, going through your into your basic and your AIT, you were doing quite a bit because they built you up. I think that's important for guys to remember because I think we all have a little warrior gene stuck down in there somewhere and he wants to come out swinging. Especially if you're older, you just need to pay attention to what's going on so you don't get... don't get in trouble. When you start from out of shape to trying to become in shape, there's two things that's more important than muscle when you start. And if you don't believe me and you bench press when you were in high school or college, then if you've been 20 years and you get on a bench press, what happens? You say you used to bench press 250 pounds. So the minimum that someone like that's probably going to start with is a 45 on each side and 45-pound bar is 135 pounds. That's what most people warm up with bench press, that bench press at all. When you first get on that thing, the bar is going to be wiggly. Your arms are going to be floppy. You got the muscle strength to bench 135 as a grown man. No doubt in my mind. But your nervous system is not going to be prepared for that. You're going to have terrible form. You're going to be trying your best. You're going to be shaking. Your back's going to be shaking. Everything, it's going to seem like it's extremely heavy, but it's not. Your nervous system's not prepared. And your connective tissue is not prepared. Muscle's there to do that for most men, but the nervous system is not. Now, what you will see when you start bench pressing, that 135, it's going to kick your butt. You're going to get really sore, but it's just going to, you're going to feel out of control. After three or four sessions with a bench press, things become smoother. That's your nervous system catching up to what you're asking it to do. It's adapting. Same with a deadlift, a squat, you know, singular muscular, you know, type things like a machine curl or something like that. See, that's taking all the nervous system out of it. Like if you ever do military presses sitting down or front presses, it's a lot smoother. Take that same weight and do it standing up. Your butt's shaking, your lower back's all over the place. You're wobbling back and forth like a drunk person trying to do it because your nervous system's not used to balancing you and the weight as you press something. Over time, that calms down. Use your head if you're completely out of whack. Because a friend of mine just told me he's going back to the gym and hadn't been to the gym probably in a couple of years. Hopefully he takes it easy because he's older than I am. Until he gets his nervous system and his connective tissue built back up to thing. Now, if we're talking about functional strength, you need to do functional movements. And you need to be able to add weight to the bar to a certain limit. I don't think as a 55-year-old male, I need to be trying to deadlift 700 pounds. But I think it'd be pretty cool to be deadlifting 315 or 405 20 times. See, that's very functional. I have no reason at 50 or when I'm 55 or 60 to be worrying about if I'm benching 400 pounds. That's very functional in the world because you're not going to be at a competition. You're training for life. If you're going to try to compete, that's a different story. Totally different story. When I'm at the gym, the things that I'm really paying attention to is I normally have one functional movement when I do something like a shoulder press or a bench press or squats or deadlifts. I want to increase that range of weight. At least every other time that I go into the gym. Even if it's 2.5 pounds. It adds stress, causes adaptation. And I'm just now starting to see the benefit of that after about, May, 5 months. That I feel like my connective tissue, my nervous system is starting to get back in where it understands what I want it to do. Because if you go in there and kill yourself with your nervous system not ready, you're not going to want to go back to the gym. You're not going to be able to get off the toilet if you squat. Try to squat heavy and you hadn't squatted in years. If you try to bench press, I mean, holding a fork is going to be torture. That's not the point of being a strong man to me. The other thing is, I think muscle mass as you get older becomes super critical important. So pure strength is not exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking to put on as much skeletal muscle within reason. I'm not going to be taking steroids. I'm not going to be sucking down protein shakes. That's just not me. I'd rather eat a steak. I want to have as much muscle mass so when my natural tendency is to start losing muscle, I've got a bigger bank account to start from. So that's not just strictly powerlifting, guys. That's using more reps. I want to be able to do things. That's the reason I want to lift weights, is to be able to do things, not just to lift weights. You can live to train, or you can train to live. And hopefully, especially if you're getting older, you understand you need to start training to live. Because the game of age is coming at you whether you want it to or not. But when you go into the gym for the first time, like I said, you're going to see people lifting way more than you. Leave that ego at home. Leave it at home. I listen, when I go work out now, I've got Beats Studio headphones. They're not cheap. My wife got them for me. I love them. For the simple reason, with the noise canceling of that, I can put what I want to listen to on there, and I'm in my own little world where I don't have to pay attention to what anybody else is doing. I don't have to hear anything, and it's not as tempting to get into the race of who's stronger than who. Because that's not my point of lifting at 50 years old. I want to be able to do things till I can't do things anymore, till my battery runs out. That's the reason I'm doing it. And if you go in there competing with young guys, you're going to get injured. Because your recovery is not the same, and your bone density's probably got a little, especially you build that back up with heavier weights, it's not going to be the same, and your connective tissue is not going to be the same. And that's where guys get in trouble. You will become much stronger than you think you can if you actually understand workout means work. I'm finally at the point now, after 4 months, my nervous system is getting used to what I'm doing. And that's after 4 months of me doing that other stuff. So it's 8 months into this, that it allows me to really push myself in the gym. And I admit, for me, my personality, that's like 1 hour of the day that I get to flip on pure aggression and manhood. And I love it. I'm not a screamer. I don't throw stuff around. That's not my gig. But it's so enjoyable just to realize that you can do what you couldn't do 8 or 9 months ago. And then when you're doing other stuff in your life and it's not such a struggle, it's just really cool. It's not to be jacked. It's not to be, to try to look like Arnold. It's not any of that. It's the functionality of being strong, which to me, it's just hard for a man to have a lot of confidence if he knows down deep, not what he projects, not the perception, but when a man knows in his core that he's now strong. The world is getting ready to see a man that can do things he could not do when he knew he was weak. People will treat you different just because you're going to stand a little different. When you're really, really overweight like I was, how do you think people perceive that? In business, that's not good, dude. You may think it doesn't matter, but the perception of what people think is. Most people see that as weakness. But how you feel inside, how you really know, when you come out of the gym, and this is where I think it allows men to do things that have something connected to the masculinity base. When you come out of the gym and you're doing something like Saturday, for example, day before Easter, I went in and I was sumo deadlifting, and this is not bragging because it's not that heavy, sumo deadlifting 365, And then I went to rack pulls, and I went up to 450, and I did five sets of rack pulls with 450 pounds, which are easier than deadlifts. If you don't know what they are, you can look them up. There's something about rack pulls that turns loose. I mean, it unhinges the masculinity and aggression when you do those. You're breathing hard. You're working at an unbelievable amount of weight because you can on that particular exercise. Your body is releasing all of these hormones and you feel like $1 million when you're done. Now, you're tired, but you can't feel that any other way that I can think of. So in my daily life, when something that used to be a bigger problem happens, I don't see it as a big problem as much anymore. Obstacles, that's not an obstacle. Hell, I just did 10 reps of 450 pounds. This isn't an obstacle. I can do this. The self-confidence that comes with being strong is, I don't know how you can even chart such a thing. But you want to get to that point without hurting yourself. Because the longer you abused yourself, the longer it's probably going to take you to get to that point. So just use your head and leave your ego at the door. Because trust me, just doing push-ups, if you're really big out of shape, it's probably going to stomp your butt. And you can do that in your living room. You can do that in the backyard when no one's watching. You can go through that phase where you don't feel like people are looking at you like you're a weak marshmallow. Because if you are, you just are. But see, once you make that decision that you're not going to be the weak marshmallow, dude, the world's going to change. You're mentally going to change. You're physically going to change. You're going to be a calmer person. All that anxiety throughout the workday and all that stuff that builds up that there's no release by watching TV, you got a way to get out of it. You got a way to just blow through it. But use your head. Start small, end big.